to be here on this Friday, July 24th.
That's not an easy thing to do in these trying times.
In our second episode from season four.
Yes.
Wow. And I was...
Second episode. Last episode went great. Can you believe we got Rachel Bitticoffer?
I know. She was awesome. She announced all this stuff she's going to be doing in Texas soon after.
Don't know why she didn't announce it here, but okay, Rachel.
Oh, we like you anyway. I like how she loves her dog so much. She is getting to be... You know, she doesn't come from Democrats. She's moved over to the Democratic side with the Donald Trump phenomena.
Well, we're glad to have her.
Yeah, you're welcome here anytime.
Who are we having today, Lily?
Today we're going to have our good friend and person that I've known for a bunch of years. His name is Zach Malitz, and he is from Austin, Texas, and will be Zooming in with us, and is got a long organizing past, including helping Beto O'Rourke get through the primary here in Texas.
He was what, digital director for O'Rourke or something of the sort?
I think he was one of the senior advisors, O'Rourke. And then he was also one of the original organizers in the 2016 for Bernie Sanders. And then he was a senior advisor for Christina Simpson Ramirez, who, you know, almost was in the primary runoff for U.S. Senate, and now just recently launched a PAC last week called Beat Abbott.
Fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy. So happy to have him on.
Yeah, that'll be good.
Yeah. So what have you been doing this week?
You know, I have been a little overwhelmed. I think between now and Election Day, it's going to be just nonstop helping candidates. Mm-hmm. And so that's basically what I've been doing all week, just nonstop.
You're sort of cranky when I call sometimes.
I'm busy, man.
I know.
I've got time
more
to shoot
interns.
Shit anymore.
More interns. More interns. More underpaid interns.
But I think you've had a more interesting week than I have. What have you been up to?
I have had an interesting week.
Why don't you tell everybody about your interesting
week? My notary. I don't know why Kendall thinks this is very funny, but... But I had to have something notarized, and if anybody ever needs a mobile notary, those exist, and they come to your house with a mask on, and so she came in, and...
I'm sorry, are you telling the story about the notary, or are you telling the story about why the notary was there? That's the more important story.
The notary was there because about 3 weeks ago, I was going with my family to... where were we? Colorado. Mm-hmm. And I was very much worried about my car breaking down because it was running sort of ragged, had it all what I thought fixed up. And then when we got to Amarillo, which is one of our stops to spend the night, it sort of wasn't working out the car. I went and looked at it, had it looked at, and the guy said my axle was having problems. Like it was there with what do you call those little things that tie?
The little twist ties that are on bread bags.
Yeah, a little heavier than that, yeah. What are they called, like on posts when you do elections, signs for election posts?
Zip ties.
So my axle was with a zip tie, apparently the mechanic I'd gone to wasn't quite on it. So, I mean, it could have really been bad. So, anyway, so he showed me.
Are you serious?
Yeah,
right
he
now?
Showed me the zip
you didn't
tie.
Tell me that part of
yeah,
this
so I'm a little embarrassed because I really liked my mechanic, but he and I did get into a fight about politics at
and
last
then
day.
He murdered you. So
anyway, so I needed to get to Colorado. Didn't want to screw up the whole family. I'm a lawyer too, but don't go there. So I just decided, you know what? I'm just going to buy a new car. I was going to get a new car eventually. I was just waiting for COVID.
And you drove your car down like into the ground. Like you drive your car.
Yeah, I drive.
So it was time for you to get a new car.
So I went into the dealership. I just
when
asked
it rains outside, it would rain inside of your car.
Yeah, it would. You know, that was one thing I should have consulted with someone other than myself. Anyway, so I went in Ford dealership, bought a new Ford SUV, and decided to trade in my car, which was a 2013, and I didn't really haggle with price. I was just like, the sales was nice. I'm like, normally I would like be all over you guys, but I need the car. If you can get me out of here by 11:30 on a Monday morning, July 4th week, we got a deal, and let's get a car. So, and the guy's like rushing around, and then he's like, okay, I'm gonna give you whatever, not very much for my old car. And I'm like, okay, wire in the money.
Get it done.
Yeah, get it done.
Huh. So then flash forward, why was a notary at your house, Lillian?
Well, about 4 days later, I started having buyer's remorse because I was like, I was the axle. It was a twist tie. But if that's all that's wrong with it, and that car was really good, and I liked the fact that you could pull out the seats in the back and kids could sit on it. And it had, I don't know if I was sentimental or what. So I texted the salesman and said, hey, don't sell that car. Can you hang on to it?
She bought her old car back.
I kept my new car, but I bought my old car back.
You sold it
for a
and
loss.
Then 4 days later bought it back for how much more than what you sold it for?
Well, I was trying to get it back before they fixed it, but of course the dealerships, they they're all dealerships act like independent units. So of course they had, as soon as they knew, they immediately fixed it. And I was like, I told you not to fix it. But, you know, the salesman was nice. Salesman was nice. I'm like, I want my car.
You're not
going
to tell everybody that you bought it back for a couple thousand more than what you sold it for.
Yeah, I did. So all that brings me back to the notary because I had to sign. And the notary, who was a lovely woman, said, you're signing. And she had the title. I'm like, oh, I have a title. I just signed. She goes, you're selling it to yourself. She was so good. She goes, you have made my day. And she was like calling her husband to tell what a funny thing this was.
You had a notary come over to transfer your title from Lillian to Lillian. I can't.
It's a lot. So now, but the car's fixed. I mean, I paid
so now you have your new car and your old car.
Yeah. Because I figured one of my nephews or my son or somebody's going to need it. So now I have to talk my units into letting me keep that.
Would you like to buy your own car for the very low, low price of thousands more than what you sold it for 4 days ago? Call us, Car Dealership in Amarillo. We'll sell you your own car back.
They were so nice. And I will buy the rest of my cars from that same dealership. Because they did... sort of give
and
me.
And they are going to love to see you walk through that door.
Buy a car and buy another car. They thought it was funny too. So that's, so that's what happened. Yeah, my family's laughing at me too. But anyway,
yeah. Well, I thought it was hilarious. It was a story you needed to tell everyone. So, anyways, that's the best thing that happened this week. Good story.
Yep. And then, of course, a couple of our candidates won on July 14th, and so we've been really happy with that. We covered that already. Let's see. That's it. So before we move on,
Before we move on. This is in order to move on.
In order to move on, we must hit the headline. First headline. In Texas, in just 3 days, Texas reports 501 new coronavirus deaths.
Currently in Texas, 9,507 new cases were reported on July 23rd. 4,521 Texans have died as of July 23rd. 173 more deaths than the day before and 960 more than 1 week ago.
Yeah.
Really just scaling down there, huh? Actually, it is starting to arc down now that they did the mandatory mask thing. I've been seeing graphs of that. So keep wearing your masks. It looks like that's working. Yep. This phony science is somehow working for us. Who knew?
Even Governor Abbott used the word, this is not a hoax, the other day, which is a big deal.
I mean, how is that a big deal, though? Like, the bar for Republicans is set so low. Yeah, all you have to do is say the pandemic that we've been facing for the last 5 months is not a hoax. And everyone's like, wow, so brave, so brave.
Let's throw those people some money.
And, I mean, I just can't even.
I know, it's hard. All right, next headline. Texas and Texas Congressional District 23, the runoff between Tony Gonzalez and Raul Gonzalez. Oh, those are both Gonzalez. I just remembered that.
Are they, though?
No, they're not. I wrote that wrong.
Yeah, Raul's
name is something else. Regardless, Tony Gonzalez is up 23 votes. So yeah, that
I'm
one.
And
whoever wins that will go against Gina Ortiz Jones in that's.
Raul Reyes.
Reyes. Golly, I knew it was Reyes. Yeah,
I mean,
my typing.
Didn't.
I didn't really. I sort of did. I remembered.
It's a virtual tie there, but Tony Gonzalez is up by 23 votes. Tony Gonzalez was the pick of President Trump, whereas Raul Reyes was the pick of Ted Cruz. They were split there. Tony Gonzalez has declared victory now for a second time, but it has not been called. They're counting them some ballots.
Yeah, every vote counts. So.
Yeah, that one's huge. And let me tell you, that is not a fun thing to be a part of. I have been a part of my fair share of recounts, and they are... Not fun. Yeah, doesn't matter what end of it you're on. Ugh. It's not fun.
I just can't believe we get these huge turnouts and then get so few margins. It's just wild. All right, next headline. Six Texas Republicans break ranks and join the Democrats in a vote to remove Confederate statues at the U.S. Capitol.
Which is huge.
Yeah, very. And those were, you know, Heard, who was the...
Who's the only black member of the Texas delegation that's a Republican.
Yeah, he must be listening to our podcast because he said exactly what you said about three weeks ago. He said, anyone committing treason to protest slavery doesn't deserve a statue in Congress.
Because that's the messaging to Republicans. That's what Democrats and liberals need to start saying to Republicans. The thing is, like, Republicans think differently.
Right.
And if we make Democratic arguments to Republicans, we're not going to win arguments. But saying things like, I view them as treason against the United States and the American soldier, it's a much better argument to a Republican than civil rights. Because when have Republicans ever given a shit about your civil rights?
Well, not so much. I mean, but no, I just, and so some of those were from in people that I, there's a full list of six, but I know one of them was Michael Burgess and one of them was Van Taylor. And there was people that are in the North Texas area that are vulnerable seats that join those six Texas Republicans. Quite frankly, other than Heard, I was shocked that anybody joined that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
And so, I mean, I think that that is... a statement to the power of the Black Lives Matter movement right now and the impact that they're able to have. I mean, Republicans are trying really hard to throw them under a bus and talk about how they're, you know, radical extremist crazy folks, but turns out it's actually making a pretty big impact on some of these issues that are important.
Yep. All right, next headline. Alan West, former Florida congressman, becomes Texas Texas Republican chair. The quest to be relevant. We all know it. We feel you, Alan West. We know what it's like to win and lose again and
for those
try
who
to
are
be relevant.
Familiar or did not listen. There was a congressman once from Florida who won in 2010 in this crazy Tea Party wave. Not only was he a congressman, he was also a beloved war criminal.
an African-American
congressman. He's an absolute nutcase who started accusing Democrats of being communists while they were like total McCarthyism crazy shit, was defeated just 2 years later. So he's a one-term congressman from 2010 to 2012. He was defeated by Patrick Murphy and won't seem to go away.
Nope.
He ran for Congress again, lost that one.
Why did he come to Texas?
Then he ended up moving. He lives in my district, actually, in Senate District 2.
At one point, he was going to run against Colin Allred.
He was floating his name. Because he lives over in Garland, in Senate District 2.
What's the connection, Texas connection? Just because we're...
I think all these Republicans... It's one of the reasons that I think Texas hasn't flipped yet is because we have all these influx of people moving to Texas, but a lot of them are these people that are moving to Texas because they're conservatives, right?
Mm-hmm. Some
and
of them.
They consider it conservative Mecca, even though it's purple and right down the center and it's about to flip anyways. Because if you look at polling from the Beto race, it showed that Beto won native Texans.
For sure.
But he lost amongst transplants into Texas. So just because numbers are growing in Texas doesn't mean all those people from California are a bunch of liberals. It means that they're the conservatives that are fleeing California.
Some still think we got more than they do.
Yeah. So anyways, so then Alan West comes to Texas. He challenges the incumbent chairman, James Dickey, who just had a bad month.
Poor James.
He's had a bad run of it because while he's been chairman, he's had the Bonin Gates stuff that he's had to take care of. He's had Empower Texans lose their mind and like go off the rails. Mm-hmm. I mean, like the party has never been more split than it is now, the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And then they had to deal with all this convention stuff. Part of that's his own blame, man. Early in the year, he should have said, this is dangerous, we're not going to do it. But they started calling it a hoax, and then they had to fuck their whole convention up. And now they're having to have a second convention because they couldn't get things done in the first convention. And anyways, got trounced.
He really did get trounced.
Got trounced. And so now, crazy war criminal Alan West is the chairman of the Texas Republican Party.
And we will be seeing him in the news forever because he's already requested to have debates between the two parties against Gilberto Hinojosa from the Texas Democratic Party, which the Texas Democratic Party has refused because it doesn't make any sense and they're right. But he will keep keep pounding that drum.
Yeah, he's one of those people, you know, those people in politics that are only doing it so they can get on the camera.
Yeah.
And so he is going to use this chairmanship to get on every cable news show he possibly can. So
and they'll
a
put him
deal
on.
And
yeah.
he can, yeah, this is.
Ooh, maybe we should go see if he needs an agent because he's going to make some money.
Yeah. Hey, Alan West, we'd love to be your agents. We have no connections or experience in that. We love to do it for you, though.
That's never stopped us before. Okay, next headline. MJ Hager raises $1 million since winning her runoff on July 14th.
$1 million.
Wow, that's a lot of money.
That's great.
Good for her.
She's a big. She's raising some money,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, she's doing a Texas Victory Tour and trying to help her down ballot candidates, which we really appreciate, and going to be in doing virtual victory tour around the state of Texas. The only thing that pisses me off about all of that is, for some reason, they keep not putting Krista Castaneda.
I was just about to say that.
MJ's great, but I'm saying we also have at the top of the ticket, the first time we've had a real chance at the top of the ticket.
To win a statewide office.
And it's a very important position called the Texas Railroad Commission.
Regulates 40% of the Texas economy.
And we have a great candidate, and somehow the party and everybody else keeps missing it.
Because Democrats always get in their own way. They're all sitting around thinking no one's interested in the Railroad Commission. No one knows what that is. The reason no one's interested in it, no one knows what it is because you aren't talking about it.
Right.
You are the party. It is your job to let people know
right.
who your candidates
right.
are.
Right.
You know, but
and it's the biggest environmental race in the country. Texas, because of our size and our oil production, it is the biggest. There's more to do with environmental issues in Texas that will affect the national discussion from this race than any other race in the country.
The party's so, doing better than it has
other
in the
than
past,
Biden,
but
I guess.
It is still not there.
Yeah, they're trying. They're trying to get there. All right, last headline. Houston's Chinese consulate abruptly ordered to close by the Trump administration.
I don't know a lot about this, Lillian.
Yeah, this was, it's important for a couple of things. One is, it's not one of those, oh, that was the worst thing to do, Trump's an idiot. There's two sides of the story. That's my alarm.
Oh my.
No, that's me saying, get off your butt and walk. But it basically, it affects a lot of the Asian community, which is huge in Houston, and having a consulate's really, really...
Oh, right.
So
because if you're an immigrant, you need a consulate.
Yeah,
there.
Because you're trying to get your kids back over to this country, you're trying to get your mother-in-law, and then the whole business side of it, huge sector. And it's going to hurt the Asian community. It's being, and the Houston Fire Department was called in because the Chinese consulate started burning documents, as you do. And it's all based on the current
as
war.
As you do. Why were they burning?
Because the whole reason that they're closing it is because of what they call corporate espionage and technology. So they think the Chinese are stealing at the government level. But unfortunately, you can't separate the government part from mainland China versus how that's going to affect Americans that have Chinese descent. And so it's a real, real problem and really sad for the Asian community in
wow.
Houston. But yeah, there's the Texas Tribune did a very nice piece on
it. I should go and read it. I really don't know much about
yeah.
it at all.
Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the things because of where we are with Trump. The Asian community in Texas is so important for Texas turning blue. And so I don't think people quite recognize how much the Asian community matters for Democratic politics. We just have not done a good job of reaching out. When people talk about diversity, they're always talking about, you know, African-American and Latino diversity. But Asians traditionally in Texas have been lumped into this idea, oh, they care about business, they're going to vote Republican. They don't care about business in view of the discriminatory acts of Donald Trump. So they are ready to vote for our people. We just need to
wow.
include them. So let's keep that
That's
on our minds. And that was Hit the Headlines.
When we come back, we're going to have not one of the Democratic candidates. It says it on my script, though. We're going to have a Democratic strategist, well-known throughout the state for huge progressive movements such as Christina Simpson Ramirez and Beto O'Rourke, and the new creator of the Beat Abbott PAC, Zach Malitz, will be joining us. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to Pod Bless Texas. We're so excited to have our friend and colleague and progressive champion of Texas, Zach Malitz, on.
Yay!
Welcome
to be here. So I hear you've got a bit of a project on your plate, Zach, but before we get to it, people need to know who the hell you are. They got their emails blown up by you in 2018. Why did that happen?
I was the statewide field director for Beto O'Rourke's Senate campaign. So, you know, did all of the programs that organized volunteers to talk to voters at their door, over the phone, or via text message.
And y'all just killed it. So all of that field work that people were seeing across the state on Beto's campaign, I know that you don't want to take credit for all of it, but that's office guy, right? Like you were the guy, in charge of coordinating all of that, correct?
I ran the program, but all credit that goes to Beto, who is a true believer in field and in voter contact, which is really quite rare in candidates. And you know, being able to do that on a campaign depends on the candidate having an all-in commitment to it. And I don't think I've ever met a candidate who believes in it more than Beto does.
Hey, Beto gets enough credit, Zach. I'm all on Team Beto, but okay.
We're all Team Beto.
So if you're listening and you're like, Zach Mallett, I've heard that name before, that's probably where you've heard the name before. But you've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes too, right, in other projects.
Yeah, talk to us about, I mean, those of us who are interested in criminal justice reform, you helped start one of the most important PACs that's helping change the dynamics in district attorney races called the Real Justice PAC. Tell me why y'all started that, when you started it, and what that means for a place like Texas.
Mm-hmm. So we started the Real Justice PAC in 2017, you know, and me and my co-founders, Becky Bond, Michael Kieschnick and Sean King, you know, wanted to work on ending mass incarceration. And it turns out that one of the most important ways you can do that is by, you know, electing progressive prosecutors. You know, a lot of the growth of mass incarceration has been driven by district attorneys, you know, who have pretty much unchecked authority to decide, you know, who to charge with a crime, what crime to charge them with, what sentences to seek, what plea bargains to make. You know, and a lot of the growth of mass incarceration has, you know, been driven by DAs charging more crimes, seeking harsher sentences, that sort of thing. And these are elected positions that are way down ballot. And so it's actually possible if you have an amazing candidate promising transformational change, you know, to win these races and have an immediate impact on people's lives by, you know, electing prosecutors who aren't going to seek cash bail, you know, who are going to decriminalize, you know, homelessness and poverty or drugs. You know, and it has an immediate impact on people's lives.
And so you're starting to change the face of the Texas criminal justice system. I mean, we've seen how many DAs that you've flipped with this project across the state? It's been three so far, right? In major counties?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we've worked on winning races in Bexar County, where we defeated an incumbent, you know, in Dallas County, where, you know, where we helped elect someone to John Cruzo to an open seat. And then we just won a race in Travis County, my hometown, where Jose Garza just won a landslide victory against an incumbent. He got 68% of the vote, you know, driven by massive youth turnouts. Just absolutely astonishing.
I bet if you took, we got to teach you how to put your phone on vibrate, Lillian. I bet if you broke it down by population, you'd be looking at almost half the population of the state now living in a jurisdiction with the progressive DA that y'all have helped elect, right? Maybe a little less than that, probably about 40% of the state, right?
Dallas, Bexar, and Travis?
Yeah, at least 35, I would say.
Yeah.
I mean, be nice.
We're missing Harris County.
We missed Harris County. You were fielding a candidate, but she lost, audience.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we did not defeat Kim Ogg, perhaps there will be opportunities in the future.
When you are out there, do the someone like Jose Garza, who's a natural candidate, when you talk to mm-hmm. him, see him, but did y'all recruit him, or did you know he was out there, or how did that come about? How do you get somebody, like if we wanted to start working in North Texas and Tarrant and Denton and Collin, where we think are all ready to change to blue districts, who do we need to be looking for you?
Yeah. So, you know, Jose ran on his own initiative, but we've been talking to him since before he announced his campaign. You know, the person you want to look for is public defenders. There's been, you know, since 2017, when Larry Krasner won in Philadelphia, there's been a big shift in the understanding of who can run for district attorney races, right? So the conventional wisdom is that you have to be a prosecutor and come out of the prosecutor's office to run for DA. It's terrible. It means we elect prosecutors who come out of a broken culture that's incredibly punitive, you know, intends to think of the job as being, you know, numerically driven and racking up as many convictions as you can, as opposed to having a holistic idea of justice in the community that understands the community harms associated with incarceration and, you know, police brutality, that seeks restorative justice, and that, you know, interestingly prioritizes the experience of victims of violent crime. You know, the traditional way of prosecuting people really focuses on punishment, not supporting victims. So like one of the big issues in Jose's race, you know, was the incumbent has badly failed on, you know, supporting victims of sexual assault, and has failed to prosecute crimes and also has treated survivors really, really poorly. And so that was the survivor community in Travis County was one of the driving forces in electing Jose. And I would attribute a lot of, you know, his success to, you know, being able to work collaboratively with that community to, you know, to put forward a really, you know, bold policy platform on that.
And a lot of people don't realize the amount of power that a DA has. I mean, DAs, if you change who your DA is, you can change the entire face of the criminal justice system in your county in one election. I mean, it's huge.
I know. And especially some of these, you know, in the rural parts of Texas where, I mean, minorities just get treated so bad in these systems. I mean, and nobody's looking. If you have a bad DA, it can affect so many families and youth. I mean, it's just terrible. When I used to practice law in Denton County, which there were no progressives, and we're hoping there are more now, but I mean, the DA was basically God for that county. I mean, it was everything, because I would go into court and they would be, I mean, it was so, just so barbaric. There was never any discussion. It was just always hardline whenever I defend somebody. It was just terrible. And it was all this good old boy stuff that was just yuck for me. But anyway.
So you helped run and coordinate the largest field program that Texas has ever seen. You have changed the face of Texas criminal justice in about 35% of Texas populations. Places where Texans live.
You're embarrassing him, I can see.
And
that.
Now you've launched a new project. I wanted to say all of that to lead up to the fact that you've been very successful in your previous efforts, and now there's a new effort, and it's the pack you just launched called the Beat Abbott Pack. Let's talk about it, because we're on board.
Yes, we're all about fuck that. And what can we do and tell our listeners? And why did you announce it now? And does that mean if we have the right kind of candidate for governor, which we better, that you're going to give all the money we give you to that person? Or are we going to only give it to the governor, gubernatorial candidate that's going to change the face of Texas and not be just a sitting dog for corporate interests? Go.
All right, I'll give you the whole thing. So first, before I forget to say it, if you want to check out the Beat Abbott pack, you can do it at beatabbott.com. I love that we got that URL.
Some people are having a hard time finding that, Zach, so we appreciate it.
So, you know, we launched the pack, you know, because of, you know, Greg Abbott's dramatic failure on COVID. You know, I actually looked up the statistics today. You know, Texas reported more cases yesterday than France, Germany, Japan, the UK, Australia, and Italy combined. You know, Governor Abbott, even by his own standards, recklessly reopened the state, and against the, you know, advice of public health officials, you know, moved forward with everything, including reopening bars. You know, and his orders have often been confusing and contradictory and hard to understand. You know, there's the whole weird thing with the mask order where he sort of posed it as a riddle to the county governments. So we launched the pack with three goals. So the first is to, in the immediate term, hold Abbott accountable for his failure on COVID, right? Most of the Democrats in the state in some way rely on the governor's office to be effective in their jobs, right? You look at someone like Lena Hidalgo or Clay Jenkins in Dallas, right? They have to work with the governor's office, and they're also working, you know, actively to save lives in their county, right? They're focused on governance, not on making the case in really stark terms about the governor's failure. And so there needs to be a purely political entity that can explain to Texans how he's failing and make sure that people remember in 2022 when Abbott's up for re-election. And then the second goal is to raise money to support the eventual nominee. And Lillian, to answer your question, we might give it to the candidate and we might spend it on their behalf. There's a couple of people in the state you could imagine who wouldn't take PAC money. And so we may have to spend it to support them instead of giving it to them since they might not take our money.
What people in this state wouldn't take PAC money that might run for governor in 2022?
There is a certain tall guy who's pretty notable for that. I think some people probably heard of him. You know, but there would be other candidates too. And you know, we're not going to focus on the primary. This is a general election effort. You know, the people personally involved in it, which is me, my colleagues Jenny Goldman, Tor Gavito, and Derek Osabase. You know, we probably personally have opinions about who should run, and we may even have different opinions. We haven't really talked about that much, but. But this is a general election effort, you know, to defeat Abbott, whoever runs against him, since any Democrat in the state is going to be better than him. He's really a monster.
There's been some, like, Abbott has had this strange ability since he entered Texas politics to just be like Teflon, man. I mean, like, nothing that the guy does ever sticks to him. He seems to just slide right by when he's done some pretty atrocious things, but there's something about this coronavirus response that seems to be sticking to the guy.
It does stick to him.
And I do think that it's a very astute point that we do need a political entity to try to drive that home, because all the Democratic electeds are being responsible right now.
Yeah. I mean, if they were Republicans, they would be making this into a culture war issue, but they actually want to save people's lives and, you know, mitigate the harm that the pandemic does. So they can't just take on Greg Abbott, you know, directly.
Fucking concept.
Yeah. There was a third point.
Oh, yeah. And the other thing is, you know, our goal is to build a big email list, right? So amass a bunch of Democratic donors so that we can then fundraise on behalf of the eventual nominee, right? So that way, you know, somebody who maybe doesn't have a big, you know, email list when they're starting out, right? There's some candidates, you know, who potentially would, but a lot of them who could run our county level or municipal, you know, electeds or state legislators who probably don't have a big online footprint. So we can build that and the other infrastructure that they'll need to run for office in advance so that they don't start from scratch when they go into the general election against Abbott.
Yeah.
Wow, love that.
Well, let me tell you, Zach, you've been doing great work and we just certainly appreciate everything that you're doing. And if Pod Bless can ever be of assistance to you, you just holler at us and let us know. If people wanted to follow you and the work that you're doing, where would they go to find that?
Again, beatabbott.com is where the pack is. Me personally, it's just at my name.
I'm saying, if he's got a Twitter or something he wants to send people to, I'm giving him a little layup. He can just spike the ball.
At Zach Mallets, I only tweet about Abbott and criminal justice. So if you want to hear about those topics, you know, I'm rage tweeting about Abbott every single day. Like, stop by, you know, there. I got lots of tweets about that.
That's awesome. Well, as you may hear us start to wrap it up, the reality is we're not wrapping up yet because you don't get to leave. Before you go, you have to play everyone's favorite segment. It's called Obsessed. Obsessed, where each of us are going to talk about one news story from the week, whether it was politics or it wasn't, that we've been completely obsessed with. And as always, we have to start this segment with Lillian Salerno. Lillian, what's something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
I hate to use my gender all the time, but I'm just going to go ahead and do it. I was obsessed with how disrespectful the Florida congressman was to Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and how they keep getting away with it. And how come some other, I mean, at this point, they need to be censored in a way that, I mean, a young woman congresswoman shouldn't have to fear being accosted by her colleague in the United States Capitol.
You're referring to Congressman Yoho of Florida referring to her as a fucking bitch. Is that what you're referring to?
Just imagine if a female did that to a male. Just imagine.
And it's just unacceptable. And the son of a bitch that's running against, that Julie Oliver is running against, Roger Williams, he was there too, and he's denying it. But I hope we hold him accountable. And everybody needs to go and give Julie Oliver some money, because we need to take him out. He was in the room, he was listening. And as a Texas male, for him to allow that to happen, I'm personally offended, and we need to vote him out.
They all stand around and talk about how conservative they are and how they have traditional values. But if I'd have called a woman a fucking bitch, both of my mamas would have whooped my ass. There, you don't do it. You don't talk about women like that. It's entirely unacceptable, let alone the fact that you're a congressman speaking about a colleague.
Does she not get the same respect that a male does just because she's good looking and she's 31? I mean, it's just beyond the pale, and it's just so bothersome. And you see young females, why do they want to run? That's what they're going up against? That's what they get to look forward to? That's why you can't get females into politics.
That's why they need to run.
That's why they need to run.
Good obsess, Lillian Salerno. That was a great obsess. Zach Malitz, what is something this week that you've been completely obsessed with?
Okay, I am obsessed with the new GOP party chair, notable Florida man Alan West, who is a loser. I am so excited about him. Alan West was a one-term, member of Congress in Florida. He doesn't exactly have a track record of winning things. He was kicked out of the military because he
be nice. You're sitting around some lovable losers over here.
Hey, fair enough. I'm hoping, that he leads the party to, terrible defeat and failure. But he's just a real treasure. So it's going to be interesting to see what he did. And a weird fact, I learned that he's an honorary member of the Blue Knights International Law Enforcement Motorcycle Club, which sounds pretty sinister to me. I don't know that much about it, but it doesn't sound good.
Speaking of crazy people in Florida, something we didn't mention today on the podcast was Republicans canceling their convention in Florida, right?
After
taking it out of North Carolina because they were canceling it.
So are you excited as I am that Alan West is just going to have some just pearls between now and November?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he once said like 80 members of the House were secretly communists. He was fired from some conservative media company for saying that, for calling one of his coworkers a Jewish American princess. I mean, he'll probably make it like 6 days, before he says something just absolutely weird.
He was in my district, Zach.
Does he live in Verdell?
Yes, he lives in Senate District 2.
Unbelievable.
Good obsessed, Zach. Good obsessed. My obsessed this week is something that is a little bit more local, and maybe it's a little bit like, I don't know. Other people may not be as intuitive on things that are happening on the ground as this, but here in North Texas, we have a lot of awful legislators that we're trying to beat this cycle so that we can just run the table with blue folks. And one of the ones that I love to hate the most, because we fight all the time on Twitter and he's just an all-around garbage person, is Jared Patterson, who is in Eastern Denton County. He's an empowered Texan shill who, quite frankly, is one of the dumbest human beings at the table. Like, if you sit a bunch of people around the table and you're just like, which of these people are gonna need help figuring out how to open up their container of Play-Doh so we can keep them busy for the day? Jared Patterson's the guy we're talking about, okay? Well, Jared Patterson is particularly interesting to me this week because he came out. This is going to be a little bit granular, guys, but he came out and endorsed a candidate for a local, local COSERV, like an energy board that is happening.
It's the third largest electric co-op in the country.
Electric co-op. Why couldn't I think of the term co-op? He endorsed it.
Because you're considered a communist in regular terms if you say co-op. But for electric co-ops, which is big business.
We love electric co-ops. Okay, so you rarely see state legislators get involved on electric co-op boards or on sub boards. You don't see that kind of stuff happen. But on this particular electric board, it's one of the largest ones in the country. The people that get placed here make shit tons of money. And they have a lot of influence on what people are paying on their energy bills up there. And Jared Patterson weighed into it. And what it shows is that Empower Texans, this group that we've been tracking that we hate so much, is trying to get their tentacles onto these electric boards and these energy boards that are on super low level that a lot of people don't pay attention to. If they start to get their tentacles in it, you're going to have some weird West Texas influence on some really important boards that people aren't paying attention to. But it's also really important because Jared Patterson's day job is the director of energy services at Rapid Power Management. So what Jared Patterson's trying to do is not only make sure that Empower Texans is able to get their tentacles onto our electric co-op boards, but he's trying to put one of his buddies on this board so that he can financially gain in his own job by having, what's the guy's name? Patrick Wamhoff, which is a cartoon character of a goddamn name if I've ever heard one in my life, on this board so that he can have outsized influence over the co-op board. I think that it is corruption at its worst. Yep. I think it's disgusting, and I think that every one of us should step up, whether you're a Democrat or Republican, to stop these special interest groups in West Texas, like Empower Texans, from co-opting our co-ops. And that's something that this week that I've been completely obsessed with. I know that it's not the sexiest topic, but it is so freaking important that these clowns like Jared Patterson are held accountable. He should be held accountable for it, and this Patrick Wamhoff guy should be held accountable for it. Vote against both of them because they're both clowns.
And there's a great candidate there going to be running against it.
Jennifer Skinnenko, friend of the podcast. She's been on the pod before, and it's a district that we actually can flip this cycle. So support Jennifer Skinnenko because she won't do bullshit like this. And that's what I've been completely obsessed with. And that was obsessed. If you have something this week that you've been obsessed with, please send your video of 30 seconds or fewer to info@podblesstexas.com, and we might play it on the next episode. info@podblesstexas.com.
Yes. Well, good. Well, thank you, Zach, for joining us and taking your time. And we're so excited that you decided to stay in Texas once you came, because you've really helped with the progressive movement and looking for good things from the Beat Abbott pack. We also
beatabbott.com.
Would you start one against Dan Patrick too when you get a chance? Because that's what.
Hey, I have a list of people I want you to start packs against, Zach.
Maybe. Well, you know, under Texas election law, you know, we can transfer unlimited resources between different packs. So if we wanted to start another one, and we could just, you know, transfer money, email list, whatever we want to. So it's a fungible resource if we're fighting our terrible statewide electeds. So
we'll make our wish list. Well, thank you so much. And people know how to follow you, and make sure you guys and gals out there give to the PAC, because it's always good to get a lot of donors for those things when you start out.
And when you start getting a bunch of info in your email from this new Beat Abbott PAC, that you're probably going to be like, what's this new one? There's another one. You now know where it came from. It's a guy that's worth his salt. So.
All right. And thank you so much. And Kendall, if people want to follow you, what do they do?
If folks wanted to follow me, they can follow me on Facebook, on Twitter, on Instagram, on Snapchat, on TikTok. And I recently joined Parler at Kendall Scudder.
Know what Parler is.
Parler's this Republican app where they're going to try to make sure. I mean, it's so stupid. You join it. I should have told you this at the beginning. You join it, and the first message you get is from Ron Paul thanking you for joining Parler. He's like Tom on MySpace. Like, you're automatically friends with Ron Paul. It is the dumbest shit ever. But I joined it because I'm going to push my liberal propaganda on Parler. You can follow me on all those at Kendall Scudder. Where can people follow you, Lillian?
If they want to follow me, they can follow me through Podbless or through my Twitter account, which is Lillian_Salerno. And thanks, everybody, for joining us. And behalf of myself and Kendall and our group at Pod Bless, have a blessed week.
See you next week.